Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. I hope you're well, and I think you're going to love this week's chat. I don't think I've ever covered the topic of osteopathy in detail before, but really, really interesting interview coming up with Michelle Davies, who has some really interesting insights to share around, well, the whole somatic picture, really, and just how incredible the body is and healing work is. Michelle is an amazing author. She's written some fantastic books. In fact, you can, if you check the show notes, if you go to thesoberclub.com, you'll see that you can access a free PDF of Michelle's book, Mental Clarity. She's done some amazing work. She's a bit of a powerhouse, I think it's really fair to say. So I think you're going to really enjoy this interview. Just before we get into it, just a reminder of a few things that are happening, depending on when you're listening to this show, of course. But on February 23rd, there's a Family Constellations Day. So I host that with a leading trauma expert. It's in Hertfordshire. It's such amazing work and not the easiest to describe, but really just be open, come along and experience a session of Family Constellations for yourself. You know, it really is amazing when you can release those limiting beliefs and blocks and sometimes, you know, you can release kind of trauma that's been held within your cellular memory for years, possibly even lifetimes, you know, possibly going back to ancestral trauma. So it's really unbelievable work. So it's February 23rd in Hertfordshire. A few days before that, completely different, but if you have ditched the booze and you're interested in becoming a sober coach, I'm hosting a free webinar which is all about exploring a new career or finding your purpose in sobriety. So many people do, you know, ditch the booze and then they're thinking, wow, I'd really love to be able to inspire someone else or encourage someone else, or I'm really open now to a new purpose in my life. So just come along to the online webinar. It's Tuesday, the 18th of February. It's completely non-salesy. It's absolutely not trying to push anyone into anything. I never do, because the courses that I run, the training programs that I run are really very much for people who want to do that work. And if you're not called to do that work and it doesn't feel like the right course for you, then I wouldn't be wanting you to come on board. So it really is a case of just come and sound it out and see if it's the kind of thing that you think you might be interested in. And then finally, with events, 7th to the 9th of March, I'm hosting a really special retreat, Soulful Sobriety. It's in Essex at a beautiful luxury farmhouse, 7th to the 9th of March, and I'm co-hosting it. There's going to be everything that you could imagine for your well-being, really. We're going to have cacao ceremonies. We're going to have a sound bath. We're going to have yoga, of course, Reiki. There'll be workshops. We're going to look at mindset. We're going to look at good nutrition. We're going to look at how you can get rid of limiting beliefs. It will just be the most powerful, I hope, weekend for those who can join us. And you don't have to be sober. Of course, it's fine if you're sober curious. That's completely fine. So check it out for any of these events. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find all of the information there for the webinar as well, which you do have to register for. And, as we're now into February, just a quick word for anyone who did dry January and then they're carrying on, perhaps tentatively. Just keep going. Please just keep going. I'm sure you'll have heard me say this to so many times, but I can't stress enough that, you know, the first 30 days are the hardest, really. And once you push through and you just get past that hard bit and you keep focusing on everything you're gaining, that is the key. Focus only on what you're gaining. There is nothing to give up, nothing at all. Just focus on your well-being and all of these other amazing things that you can do along the way to support yourself, to focus on your personal growth, your healing, your well-being. It will all benefit you. But in my opinion, you know, ditching the booze has to underpin it all. And I really hope it does for you. So if you want support, reach out. I'm very easy to find on across social media at Genuinely Grace. And if you want more information, just go to thesoberclub.com. Join us there. It's a really wonderful community. It's very low cost. It's absolutely chock full of amazing value and a wonderful community, because the reality is, you know, as they say, you know, a connection is the opposite of addiction. And when you're with like-minded people, they become your cheerleaders. So it's really very special.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, I'm really delighted to be covering a topic that, you know, I genuinely don't think I've covered before. It's so exciting. Welcome, Michelle Davis, who has over 27 years of experience as an internationally acclaimed healer in osteopathy and has transformed countless lives by addressing the root causes of pain and suffering. Michelle, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate being here and to have this chat with you. It's exciting for me. So thank you very much.
It's a very interesting topic for me. So I'll tell you where I used to come from before I became aware of people like you. So years and years ago, probably when I got pregnant with my first child, I got sacroiliac joint pain, you know, the sort of heavy leg thing, you know, terrible. And I remember going along to midwives and saying, oh, don't worry, you know, it'll go when the baby's born. I'm like, you have to be kidding me. I'm not going to walk around like I'm carrying a ball and chain for the last 3 months of pregnancy. And they said, oh, well, you know, go and see a chiropractor or whatever. So I went to a chiropractor and, you know, honestly did nothing at all. I went to an aromatherapist and it was, you know, great for a bit and it's sort of relaxing. I went to an osteopath and hurt a bit, but did nothing at all. And then I found the Bowen technique, which I'm sure you're aware of, B-O-W-E-N.
Yes.
And that was like a miracle, literally. Oh,
wow.
Can you still hear me?
I can, yeah.
Oh, that's so weird. My screen has gone totally weird.
You look okay to me.
Oh, do I? Okay, well, I'll carry on then, but it's very, very weird here. I'll carry on. So I found Bowen, the Bowen technique and the Bowen therapy, and it was literally like a miracle. And of course, I was able to very quickly realize that the person who was treating me was a healer, you know, a healer in every sense of the word. And of course, as time has gone on, I've come to realize that you know, the modality, if you like, is nothing without being in the right hands. And and clearly, you know, you're going to share with me a completely different view of osteopathy and how it works, particularly when it's in the hands of someone like you, who is obviously genuinely a healer. And I know you won't mind blowing your own trumpet and saying that that's true, right?
Yes. It's true, because the patients who come to see me, that's what they say. And the title of my first book that I published is called Miracle Worker.
Great.
Because time and time again, patients were using that as a description. They were saying Miracle Worker. And I thought, that's actually a really good title for a book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I actually use that. Yeah.
Fantastic. So tell us, for anyone who, you know, they're not really sure, or they just like it explaining again, what is osteopathy, particularly the kind of osteopathy you use? Because you go back a long way. So you really, I think I heard you on James Dellingpole's podcast talking about the sort of the science of osteopathy, which actually goes back much further than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah, so osteopathy stems back to 1874.
Wow.
And he was a doctor and a surgeon at the time, but they were losing more patients than keeping them alive because drugs weren't available then either. And so they were doing some horrific things to people to try to save them, but unfortunately it wasn't working. So Andrew Taylor Still was a doctor at that time, and he was getting frustrated and was looking for other answers. And he discovered osteopathy because he discovered that the body has this innate ability to heal itself. If you give
Yes.
it the right conditions,
Yes.
it will actually heal and repair. The problem is that how we live our lives generally doesn't support us to be healing. But once you
Right.
know what those problems are, then you can address them and your body actually will heal and repair. And it doesn't really matter how long you've had the problem for, or even what the problem is. If you create the right environment and the right condition, then the body can self-heal. So
Yeah.
osteopathy, it's an art, it's a philosophy, and it's a science. And we go to college to train to be an osteopath. And the training is 4 years. It's like a medical degree. We learn how to diagnose and we learn how to recognize the conditions that we can't treat. We can't treat everything. So we are then very safe. Somebody could come to us with a problem, a medical problem, and we would know whether that was actually something that did need to be treated in a hospital or by a doctor, or whether we could use our hands to be able to access the body and enable the body to heal and repair itself without the need for drugs or for surgery.
Right. So, often when people say the word osteopathy, they tend to think, as I did back then, that all you can help with is, muscular problems. But it's way more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, so osteopaths unfortunately are limited by the Advertising Standards Authority. And so
Yeah,
they
as to what they can claim
dictate.
they can do, kind of thing. Yeah.
And it's a really brief list of what an osteopath can do. And of course, that's not true because an osteopath can actually treat so many more conditions than what they're allowed to say they do, which is actually a reason why I'm not an osteopath anymore. And I say that I'm a healer in osteopathy because my degree is in osteopathy and my 27 years of private practice is in osteopathy, but I'm just not regulated anymore by the General Osteopathic Council,
Yeah.
which means then that the Advertising Standards Authority aren't dictating to me what I can and I can't do.
Yeah,
Yes,
absolutely.
osteopathy is so much more because it's about treating the whole person, so their mind, their spirit, and their body. And the entire system. So there are
Yeah.
some osteopaths that work viscerally, and then people like myself who do cranial osteopathy, which is a specialist area for me, and I work with the health of the brain. So a lot of treatments that I do are based just around the skull, the cranium. But of course, as you know, the brain is responsible for all the functions in the body. So even though the application of hands is on someone's head, you could actually be treating their digestive system
Yeah.
because of the link between the head and the gut. And there's a link everywhere down to the toes. So
Yeah.
just by placing your hands on somebody's head, you could be actually accessing their lower back or their knee because of the connections.
Sure. I
So,
know. I mean, I'm a very big fan of cranial osteopathy. I was lucky enough, if you like, to be told about that when my baby was born, and all of my four kids had cranial osteopathy almost as soon as they were born, which I was really grateful to be able to gift them that because
yeah.
it's really powerful, isn't it, for babies?
Yeah, I say to the parents, you don't realize this, but this is the best gift that you can give your
Yeah.
baby right
Yeah.
now is for the cranial osteopathy,
Yeah.
because a problem doesn't go away. So if there is a birth-related problem, which you
Yeah.
might not know about, it can actually lead to addiction in
Yeah.
adulthood.
Yeah, isn't that
So,
incredible?
yeah,
Tell us a
alcohol.
bit more about that potential link between I don't know whether it's a blockage or a trauma that could have a link with addiction. What tell us a bit more about what you mean by that.
Yeah, so whether you're born by a fast delivery, slow delivery, forceps, vontus, or even cesarean, which people don't tend to realize that. But if there is a problem with birth and that actually injures the glymphatic system, which I'll explain that in a second, but if the glymphatic system is then affected and it's not enabled to heal, it means that the dysfunction continues in that child's body and they take it with them through every year that they're alive. And it means that they one problem becomes another problem becomes another problem.
And are we talking about emotional problems, as it were, or are we talking about physical issues, or is it both?
Everything, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So all of those four quadrants that we live life in, all of those could be affected by something from when you're born, or that you had a concussion or an injury to your head, or an emotional trauma as well. But if you have a trauma to your head and it disrupts this system, which is the glymphatic system, it affects how your brain detoxes. So we have a glymphatic system, which it's the detox mechanism of the brain. So it's the cerebrospinal fluid, and that fluid bathes the brain, the spinal cord, and all of the nerves. And it moves around the brain at a certain rate and rhythm. And it does that in order to clean the toxins from the brain. And if that doesn't happen, that leads to congestion, it leads to inflammation, it leads to oxidative stress, too many free radicals. And that then later on can lead to addictive personality types because we're seeking relief. Because if it doesn't feel comfortable in the body, we look to something to give us that relief, that release, that dopamine fix that we're wanting, because we're in pain, even though we're not necessarily feeling it as a sharp pain, stabbing pain, nothing like that. But it's the feeling in the body that something is just not right.
And of course, this would never be diagnosed in inverted commas by conventional practice because they wouldn't know what you were talking about. You can't really go in and say, I just don't feel quite right.
Yeah, you need a list of symptoms at least.
So how would one know if you had this issue with the glymphatic system then? I mean, how do you know it's that rather than something else?
Yeah. So generally, it would be affecting your memory and affect you'd have brain fog, and that you know that your brain isn't functioning properly because your memory is affected, your decision making is affected. You haven't got emotional balance. You could be angry. You could be frustrated and irritated very easily. And you're lacking in energy, so you feel exhausted. So these are the ways that it can present. But if we go further back, so as a child, if you've got a problem from birth, it would first of all start as potentially colic or reflux, or a digestive issue, so constipation a lot of the times, or a sleep problem, or that the baby is just inconsolable. They just keep crying and they're crying more than they are happy. That's where it starts. So if you've got a child that's presenting that way, then it's best to have them treated because there is actually a reason and likely that it's this glymphatic issue, there's toxicity around the baby's brain. Then later on, it could be a child that's disruptive in class, or the child that's hitting other children, or they're generally disruptive. They're not listening, not paying attention. They could have things like ADHD. Also, that they perhaps just they're not fitting in. They're lacking in friends. People don't really want to be around them, or they're not confident, so they're very clingy. They haven't got that self-esteem. So, and then it's pain after that. So it could be that then as a young adult, you might be having migraines, or you could be having headaches, or you could have a digestive issue because of the gut-brain connection via the vagus nerve. So it could be that there's a digestive problem there, that they're the symptoms. So every symptom in your journey means something. And if it's not being addressed as it's showing itself, it then can be that you have this addictive or obsessive personality. So when I put my hands on someone's head, I can almost tell immediately if they're going to have an obsession or an addiction.
Wow.
It could be, I don't know where that addiction or obsession would be, but I know that they have something. So it could be cleaning, obsessive cleaning, OCD. Or it could be for somebody else that they're turning to alcohol or smoking or to overeating. And then what tends to happen is, so I can tell that when I'm treating and I start engaging in that conversation of, is there anything? Usually then you know what it is because you're actually conversing with the person. And then you can address it with them. But often it's not that that they're coming for. They're actually coming usually because of fatigue or pain or headache or the brain fog, you know, they can't quite think right, or they're procrastinating. They're not being very productive. And then you find out actually they're drinking alcohol every day. Or they're smoking cannabis every day. And they're doing that because they're trying to feel comfortable because their body really is suffocating inside. It's like being totally overwhelmed all the time, and you can't free yourself of that overwhelm. But when you drink a glass of wine,
Gives
then
you temporary relief for a
you feel
bit.
better, don't you? Yeah.
It's so interesting because as you're kind of speaking, I work with family constellations. I'm sure you know about that work and various other modalities and stuff as a coach. And one of the things that we sometimes share with clients is that if you if you have an addiction, if you're drinking too much, so many of us at the beginning, we think it's all our fault and we beat ourselves up and we have that terrible guilt. And I sometimes share with people, this is not your fault. It's highly likely that you had some kind of trauma at any, years 0 to 18. And even the ACE study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences, show that people who've had trauma, and you only have to score something like three or more on their little quiz, as it were, which is only 10 questions. You only have to score about three or more. And you're something like 80% more likely to have an addiction in later life. Don't quote me on the figures, but it's something like that. In other words, it really doesn't take much for most people to have had some kind of trauma related to their upbringing. And we're not necessarily even talking the heavy stuff. It can be relatively innocuous. I mean, I scored seven on that scale, and yet I wouldn't have said I had a tremendously terrible childhood. My parents did have mental illness. But I wasn't beaten or anything, and yet still I scored 7 out of 10, right? So we kind of have this kind of thinking, okay, so it's not my fault. I've had some kind of emotional trauma or whatever, but it can now be my responsibility to move forward. So, but within all of that, the bit that I hadn't realized even until now is it's not just the emotional trauma. There might have been a physical trauma. Right. So even someone who didn't score on that scale, who really did, have happy families and absolutely no emotional stuff that was of relevance, might have had something physical, however tiny, perhaps even from birth, which has had the same impact on addiction. Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating, and we've all been born, which
Yeah,
means
exactly.
actually we've all got the predisposition then to have an addiction or an obsession, because we all could have this poor lymphatic drainage function, and actually then we're all predisposed. Which, if you look at most of your friends and family as well, there we see it, don't we? Because there is that tendency for addiction or obsession in most people. But how far do you take that?
So are there other modalities you talk about this lymphatic system? Are there other, because I don't think I've ever heard it come up.
In the scientific world, yes, but they've only really discovered the lymphatic system, I think, in the last 16 years. So it's actually relatively new, but it's still like 16 years. They are doing more and more research on it. because they realize that it leads to dementia and Alzheimer's and
Wow.
Parkinson's and MS and neurological problems. And so it is intriguing them more
Yeah.
because they realize that the plaques of protein around the brain, which is when the glymphatic system isn't functioning, you get plaques of protein left sitting there. And that's what they find in patients with Alzheimer's.
Right.
And so it is of interest. And
Yeah.
of interest is the gut-brain connection as well, and how those two are totally tied together.
Yeah.
You could have a gut problem which leads to a glymphatic problem. You could have a glymphatic problem that leads to a gut problem. So I always say to people with any like a brain fog issue or an addiction issue, you need to focus on your gut as well as you focus on your brain.
Yeah.
You need to look at both and improve both.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
The really scary thing, of course, as you've just described, those various potential symptoms, outworking of this, a child who's disruptive or this or that. So many people would just simply pump the child full of a load of medication and they just live like that forever.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the
that's
scary thing, isn't it?
it is, and part of that is because they don't know.
No,
They don't
exactly.
know any better because this work I'm doing isn't spoken about, and I've been censored, I've been restricted for years. The real truth behind everything, because of maintaining the title osteopath, is actually very limiting. And so
Yeah.
you think all the osteopaths that are out there, they are limited
Yeah.
about what they can do and what they can say. There's a threat of them, being kicked off the register.
Yeah.
So the word then, it doesn't get out there, and it should be, but that's also deliberate.
Yeah,
So
of course.
bear
Of
that in mind,
course.
that it is all deliberate. But the more podcasts I do and the more I speak out, that's great. The more other people start talking about it, it does spread the word. And that's how osteopathy has always been. It's recommendations, because we haven't had the support from like the advertising standards.
Yeah, of
They,
course. Of course.
so everything really is word of mouth.
So if someone did come to you, with and you did sort of identify this lymphatic problem, how easy is it to treat that? How quickly can that be treated, or is it a very long-term thing?
No, I can get really good results in a couple of treatments. So I've had profound responses in just two visits in a lot of cases. And then other cases need to maintain. So you may get the improvement, but that's not the end. Actually, you just need to continue to help that patient so the interval increases. But
Yeah.
significant change can be made with two. My average, I
Yeah.
say, is between two and three visits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goes a long way to pushing you into that healing mode so that your body can actually heal itself and address the problems. And
Yeah.
the more compliant the person is, the better. So if they are going to follow your advice, and also they're just open to the approach and they want to change and they feel worthy of change as well, they're ready, then they will do better because they need to make changes. And so if that person works with you, they need less treatment than the person then who isn't working with you.
Sure.
They don't really want to take responsibility. They'd still rather be fixed, as it were. But
Yeah.
the way
Rather
we
just
work
take a
is,
pill
yes.
and
And
deal with it
unfortunately,
quickly.
again, because that's the way they've been all their life, because that's how the media have encouraged them to be, government have encouraged them to be, NHS have encouraged them to be, because unfortunately, the medical model is, generally, don't take responsibility, just take these pills.
Yeah,
But actually,
absolutely.
it's about then retraining someone's thought patterns and trying to change their beliefs. And that's quite challenging. But it can be done, of course, as long as you're open and you're willing to try.
Yeah.
So amazingly, sometimes I mean, a lot of it's like it is a miracle, because you can't explain how, for example, psychosis. someone's been labeled with psychosis and they're heavily medicated. How can they possibly recover from that? If you spoke to a medical person, they would say that you can't recover, and you certainly can't recover with seeing someone for two treatments. But it happens. Or for someone who is self-harming and they're actually making attempts on their life, they're trying to kill themselves, and then they have two treatments and they're not doing that anymore. Like, wow, how has that happened? And it does happen. People's lives are being saved by a couple of treatments because the body has that ability to self-heal and repair, and it's beautiful the way we are created. It is designed that way. So if you can tap into it and allow it to do its work, the intelligence of the body knows what to do, and
I really
therefore
believe that.
these
So
recoveries happen.
I guess, there's got people are going to be listening and thinking, right, okay, well, I need this. But, there's only one of you, Michelle. Can you clone yourself by any chance and send yourself, around the UK? So at least we can have one of you in every town.
So that's why I published a book, two books, so that I can reach more people without my hands on them. And I use biofrequency. That's a AO scan technology. I use that so I can analyze somebody's voice. Well, the technology does the analysis, but it analyzes somebody's voice and it provides music for them to listen to every day. And that reduces anxiety, helps them sleep better, helps manage pain. And that, so then I can do that remotely. And then
So
through the
that
books.
well, that was going to be my question then. So what are the things that we can do for ourselves? I mean, generally for well-being, from your perspective.
So my most recent book, Mental Clarity, that's got 10 chapters, and each chapter has got suggestions because it is about daily habits. And so I'm going to offer your listeners anyway a free gift, which is a PDF copy of my book. So
Fantastic.
they'll be able to access that, and it's just full of information. So I would say that would be a really good starting point. It's just study that, read that, make some changes. Even if you just make one change a week, that's better than not making any changes at all. And my first book as well, Miracle Worker, it's a self-help book. So there's so much information because we need to address the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So need to do something in all of those areas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing that strikes me most about, the work you do, and I can tell that the approach is truly holistic, and it has to be, doesn't it? Because I think this is the problem. We pick and choose. Well, I'll do that. I'll do that vegan diet. I'll do that piece. I'll do that piece. But actually, we do have to bring together these elements of the whole. It has to work synergistically. It really does. Yeah, it's fascinating. And then just tell us where you practice. And I guess you're mega busy, but for anyone who can get to see you, tell us where you practice.
So I work in Harley Street and Bromyard, which is in Herefordshire. So patients do travel a long way, and they find that they can fly easier to London than they can drive. So I have patients that fly in from Europe to see me there, and then patients will drive like from Scotland to places like Bromyard, or to my clinic in Bromyard in Herefordshire. One is in the
Amazing.
Midlands, and then the other one is right in the city. And then I do virtual calls as well, and the virtual calls can be really beneficial. So even though I'm not putting my hands on to help, I can still make a difference to them. Because they provide me their medical history. So before the call, I already know what's wrong with the person. And then it's just, I can help them virtually as well.
But how can you do it? But if it's not too dumb a question, then how can you, if we're talking about actual physical manipulation, for example, with the lymphatic, issue, how can you help them remotely then if it has to be a hands-on manipulation?
Because again, the spiritual aspect and mental and emotional aspect, those three areas are as important as the physical. So they could be starting on that journey of healing by addressing those things as well. Then they may consider coming to see me. If they can, then they would do that. But if they start making changes at least. So I will address those issues or areas on the call. So, for example, like the spiritual aspect, talking about how we can use prayer to control our thoughts. So any disempowering, unsupportive, unwanted, unkind thoughts that come into our mind, which we're plagued with, you can use a simple prayer. And you let the prayer do the work rather than you making a judgment of the thoughts, then use the prayer. And then we talk about affirmations and declarations. And you can shift your energy and shift your healing just by using that prayer. And that's just to give an idea of one of the aspects, but that's like the spiritual side. And then I would talk about the mental, emotional, and physical. Because physical could be talking to them about their sleep hygiene and their diet and encouraging them to have anti-inflammatory foods and talking about that. Exercise, drinking enough water. So there's a lot that people don't know that they could be doing that would make such a significant difference to their healing journey. Because the lymphatic system, it heals itself when you're asleep. Also, the lymphatic system works only when you're asleep. And it happens when you've been asleep for 3 or 4 hours. So the first part of you going to sleep, it's not really doing the detoxing of the brain. But then when you've been asleep 3 or 4 hours, it does. So you want to make sure that you're going to sleep well and that you're sleeping for 6, 7, or 8 hours, because then at least your brain is going to be detoxing. So then it's encouraging people to look at their sleep hygiene and maybe even like side sleeping, because side sleeping helps the drainage of the fluid.
You mean sleeping on one side?
Sleeping on your side, left or right. So talk a lot about sleep. And these tips are in the book. So,
Fantastic.
yeah.
Love it. So just remind me of the name of the two books.
Mental Clarity and Miracle Worker.
Brilliant. And you're going to gift us a PDF, so you'll send me the link to that. Fantastic. That's lovely of you. Amazing. And I'll put all the links in the show notes and where you can find stuff. It must be fantastic being you, Michelle, because you must get all these amazing, some amazing feedback and people who are like, "Oh, thank you so much. I'm healed." Must be wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's why I'm still so energized 27 years later doing what I do, because every day is amazing. I love it, and I feel so blessed to do what I do and to be part of someone's journey of healing. I'm just filled with delight all the time because I can make a difference to somebody's life. And when you're actually saving someone's life, you cannot beat that feeling of being part of that journey with that person.
Yeah,
But I
absolutely.
get emotionally involved with my patients though, like they're like family to me. So, if they're open to that, I'm so supportive and helpful, and I want to be part of that journey. So, not that it affects me though, because I let everything go. I'm very good at that. I do practice what I preach. So I don't get hurt or affected by anybody coming to see me with any problems that they've got. Or I'm just feeling amazing all the time. Yeah, just really good. Renewed.
Renewed, yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Michelle Davies, thank you so much. It's really inspirational. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank
I've really
you.
enjoyed this. Thank you.
Brilliant. Cheers.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.